God's grace and His peace are yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen. Most of you know that I love baseball a lot. I've been playing. I played baseball from 4 years old through my junior year of college, and it was just the best thing ever. But one of the seasons that sticks out in my mind was my senior year of high school, because our team was really good, really good. We were like 25-4, something like that. It was impressive, and it was the first time in our school's history that we were really good. And so there was a buzz around town. We were getting interviewed by papers. They projected us to go far into the playoffs. And there's nothing more that I wanted than to go far in the playoffs. I wanted to win. And I had a strong desire for it. But guess what happened? Second round of playoffs, we got beat by a team ranked lower than us. We were ranked like third in the playoffs, and we got beat by number 9. Bounced. Yeah, I see some of your grimaces. It was a bad loss, and it wasn't even close. We got destroyed. Not good. But that was something I wanted in high school. I went to college, I went to seminary, and through those years, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And what I wanted was for my dad to get healed. Thank God he did. In seminary, I met Anne, and all I wanted was to marry her, to see her every day, laugh with her, and I did. And now, for the past couple of years, Anne and I have wanted a baby and desired a baby. In every stage of life, we all have wants and desires, don't we? It's impossible to get away from wants and desires. And so what are yours this morning? What is something that you want? Is it happiness? Is it freedom from fear? Is it what you want? Is it friends? Family? Check off your to-do list? Is it a loved one to be healed? We all have different wants and desires. And that's what makes this verse so challenging this morning. Earth has nothing I desire besides you. Earth has nothing I desire besides you. I just told you what I wanted throughout life. That wasn't even scratching the surface of my wants and desires. And I know you have wants and desires too, and that's what makes this so challenging. The psalmist says, there's nothing I want more, God, than you. Here's my prayer today. My prayer is that by the time we leave, we not just know this, we not just say this, but we believe it. To do so, we're going to look at Psalm 73 in its entirety. We're going to begin with verse 1. Here we go. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The writer of the psalm here is a guy named Asaph, written sometime after 1000 BC, and he says, my feet almost slipped. I almost lost my faith. You see, he knew the theological truth. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. He knows the theological truth that God is good to those who know God, who believe in God, and he also knows the theological truth that God punishes the wicked. But he looks at the world, and what does he see? The exact opposite. He sees godly people struggling, godly people afflicted, and he sees the wicked prospering. And it leads him to ask questions. God, do you really care about right and wrong? God, are you even powerful enough to do anything about evil? Is there even a God? Because if so, why is the wicked prospering? Why do they have everything that I want? And what were those things? He continues. Moment of pause. Louis B. Come on in. Good to see you, Louis B. You came in at just the perfect time. Good to see you today. All right, picking up with verse 4. Asaph says, I envy the wicked because they're prospering. And what does that look like? They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. Asaph looks around and he meditates on what he sees, that the wicked are prospering and the godly people are struggling. And he says, I want what the wicked have. I want to be healthy and strong. I want to amass wealth. I want to be free of the common human burdens. I want to be carefree. This is what I want, Lord. And yet you're making the wicked prosper, and us godly people, we are struggling, we're afflicted. That's not right, Lord. And it leads him to say, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. I have washed my hands in innocence. In other words, my faith has got me nowhere. This has been a waste of time, God. You have not given me what I want, and it's all been in vain. Maybe some of you sitting here today or listening in feel like that. You feel what Asaph feels like. You look around and you say, why, God? Why me? Why does my family have to struggle? Why can't I have what other people have? I've been faithful to you. I've been in church. I read your word. I pray. But my life isn't getting better. It's getting worse. Every day there are new afflictions. Why me? I've been faithful to you, and yet my marriage is struggling. And yet those people out there, those who don't know you, those who don't believe in you, their marriage is fine. How come I can't have peace within my family like others have when I love you, when I know you, when I believe in you? How come I got fired when I was honest? How come I keep getting passed over for promotions? How come I can't find a new job that's a better paying job when I'm faithful to you, when I'm ethical, when I'm not going to do what other people do just to get ahead? I'm going to follow your laws, and yet here I am afflicted. Why? How come my family has to have health problems? How come my friend who's faithful to you, my family member, me, who's faithful to you, how come I have health problems and other people don't? How come everyone else gets to have cool stuff? They get the new TVs, the new video games, the new phones, the new iPads. They get all the cool new stuff because they have wealth. And Lord, I've been faithful to you, and yet we're struggling financially. What gives? Lord, we have done things your way. We've done things your way, and yet we're struggling to get pregnant. Why us? I moved to this city for you, Lord. I stayed here for you, to get closer to you. And yet, I find myself struggling and not content. Why? Why me? That's what Asaph is feeling. Why do the wicked prosper, and why do us godly people struggle? Why? Here's what Asaph needed to know, and here's what we need to know. Point number one today. Desiring temporary things means temporary happiness. Desiring temporary things means temporary happiness. Why do we desire the things that the wicked have, according to Asaph? Why do we desire those things? Because we think they're going to bring us happiness, right? We think if we have them, then we'll have happiness. But what happens? It's like I said from the children's devotion. We get those things, and they keep us happy for a week, maybe a month, and then we lose happiness. And we're back to being discontent. And we our hearts are set on something else that is earthly, that we think is going to bring us happiness. And so we make plans to go after those things. And when we finally get those things, we're happy for a little bit, but then we're back to being discontent. It's because we're looking to temporary things to bring us happiness, and yet temporary things only bring us temporary happiness. Do you want to know why your heart is restless? Do you want to know why you're not content? It's because you've put your hope and your happiness and your joy in the things of this world. Things that can never bring you happiness, lasting happiness. And not only do they not bring you lasting happiness, but they affect your relationship with God. Because who does God become then? What do your prayers look like? God, give me this thing. God, please let me have this thing. God, be my genie and just poof, make it appear for me. And the more we desire the earthly things, the things that we think are going to make us happy here on earth, the more we become discontent. The more discontent we are, the less thankful we are. The less thankful we are, the more it erodes our faith and chips away at our faith in God. Here's what Asaph had to say. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. What is it that your heart wants today? What is it? Know that it will fail to bring you happiness, to bring lasting happiness. The only thing that will remain is God. And Asaph says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, when I was asking, why aren't you doing this for me, God? Why aren't you giving me the prosperity of the wicked? He says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. And that's true for us too. Why? Number two, because every earthly desire will fail, but the eternal God lasts forever. When we demand God to give us the earthly desires that we want, when we ask for that and ask for it, it's almost like we're a bully to God. God, give me this. And what are we asking God to give us? Something that's going to fail us in our happiness, fail us in our contentment. And God says, no, I'm not going to give that to you right now. Because it's going to fail you to bring what you're really looking for. Every earthly thing in this life is going to fail. The only one to last is God and your relationship with Him. Look at all of the superstars of the world. The actors, the musicians, the famous people of the world. What do they have? Everything, right? They have fame. They have money. They can own anything they want. And yet, what do most of them struggle with? Happiness. Lasting happiness. Because they realize that they made it to the top, and yet they're still not happy. They're still not content. And what's it lead to? Drug addictions And sadly for some, even suicide. Because last earthly things don't last. The only thing that lasts is your God and your relationship with Him. Whether somebody's extremely rich or extremely poor, at the end of the day, we all stand before God, just us and Him. And the only thing that matters is, do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in Jesus as your Savior? That's the only thing that matters. And if not, we'll be punished. And if so, He will bring us into glory. God is the only one that lasts. And did you notice how Asaph describes God and our relationship with Him? Look at this. Yet I am always with you. God is always with you. You may be faithless. He is faithful. You hold me by my right hand. For you lefties, think you hold me by my left hand. Because what is he actually saying here? You take me by my strong hand, the thing that I accomplish everything, the thing that gives me strength, my strong part of my body that I do everything with. God, you take my right hand, my strong hand, and you guide me, you lead me. You guide me in your counsel, you give me wisdom, and afterward you will take me into glory. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God, you are my strength forever. You are my strength forever. And so here is your third point today. Because here's the thing. When we stop, this is what God is for us. And we want God. We want to desire God. We want to say with Asaph, earth has nothing I desire besides you. But the reality is we're still going to have wants. We're still going to have desires, right? And what are we supposed to do? Just ignore them? Try to suppress them? No. That's not going to work. So here's what we do. Realize the desire under our desire is God. Realize your desire under your desire is God. You are going to continue to want. You're going to continue to desire things. Why? Because we're sinful. We're not complete. We're not perfect here on earth. And so we're going to want. We're going to desire. And we can't just ignore it because that's not going to work. And so what do? We got to dig in a little bit. And we got to say, I'm wanting this, but what's really behind that desire? And what we're going to find out is that every desire is fulfilled by God. For instance, you want friendship. You want family near. You want a family because you like companionship. You don't like being alone. And you struggle from loneliness. And you like to have fun with other people. And yet what happens when you get a friend, when family moves to you? What happens when they get a career that takes them away and they move? What happens when they have a baby and they can no longer hang out with you anymore? What happens when you say something that breaks the relationship and they're gone? No more happiness, no more joy. And you're back to being lonely. What if that desire that we had for companionship is fulfilled in God? God who says, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can offend God, and you know what God's going to say to you? Not, I don't want to talk to you ever again. He's going to say, I forgive you through Jesus' life and death on the cross. You are forgiven. You can be faithless. I'm going to remain faithful to you. He's there always. You desire to feel worth. And how do you do that? Is through checklists. You make checklists after checklists after checklists. You're one of those people that wake up in the morning and you can't wait to fill out your to-do list for the day. And you love it at night when you get to check off that last thing, because then you can go to bed and rest at night. But what happens when that checklist is not even half done? What happens when you get to that list, end of the list, and you realize there's a whole other list over here that I completely forgot about? Then you lay in bed at night and you feel worthless. What if instead of feeling worth because of that, what if instead of feeling rest in your to-do list, you rest in the fact that Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. Not your to-do list, but His to-do list. His to-do list to save you. His to-do list to give you worth. His to-do list to forgive you. He said, it is finished. There's nothing you need to do. Rest. Be at rest. What if your desire to be valued, you look to other people's opinions and you try to people please because you just need people's value, their approval of you. You post things on Facebook and Instagram and all these other social medias so that people see how beautiful of a family you are, to see your new pictures, and you love seeing all the likes on there and people's approval, and you love it. You try to make a big impact at your job because then you feel value as people praise you for what you did. But what happens, you do make a big impact, you do get all these likes, and yet they're never enough. You need more, and you need more. What if you found your value in God? God who said, I value you so much that I sent Jesus for you. The God of this world says, I love you so much, I value you, that I gave up my own son to have you. What if you feel fear and anxiety, and so you go out and you get all the latest security systems, you plan for the future, you save up all this money, you watch what toxins you're taking in, the foods that you eat because you want to try to avoid cancer and other health problems that you could have because of the toxins that you intake, and you plan, and yet what's still in the back of your mind? Fear and anxiety, because you realize you still don't have control over the greatest threat to you, and that is death. What if you found that security and that desire to be free from fear and anxiety in your God who says death has been swallowed up in victory because Jesus rose from the dead? And because He rose, you will too. Every desire is found in God. Every desire is found in Him. All of your protection is in Him. He is your provider. He is your Savior. He is everything for you, and He fulfills every desire that you have. So here's your last point today. When you desire God above all, you will find contentment. Too often I hear people say that they move to a certain area for the school systems, for sports, for the activities around. That's why we picked this place. Very rarely do I ever hear somebody say, I moved here because I can grow closer to Jesus here. And yet that's the only thing that's going to give us contentment, isn't it? Growing in our Lord and Savior Jesus, desiring Him above all, seeking Him above anything. St. Augustine, a theologian, said, our hearts are restless until we find rest in You. And so this week, seek Jesus. Desire Him above all. Earth has nothing I desire besides You, Jesus, because You are the one that gives contentment, peace, and rest. Two things for you. One, be thankful. Thank God for His gospel. Thank Him that He sent Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Thank Him for His patience with you. Thank Him for His love that it says, I will always be faithful to you and never leave you. And two, figure out the desire under the desire this week. When you're wanting something, desiring it, figure out what it really is that you want, why you want it, and then see how God fills it. And when you do, you will come to realize earth has nothing I desire besides You, God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You that You are our God, our Savior God, our protector, provider. You are the desire behind every desire that we have. We thank You for fulfilling our desire and not giving us sometimes what we want because You know that it will not bring us lasting happiness. Help us to seek You always, and when we seek You, give us peace, rest, and contentment. In Your name we pray. Amen.